Let's open the Holy Word of God together to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, our text is verse 12. Let's read the psalm. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. To that point, we read the holy word of God. Our text is verse 12 tonight. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Beloved of God, Psalm 90 is a psalm of Moses. It is the only psalm of Moses. And because it is a psalm of Moses, it is the oldest psalm in the Psalter. It's a reflective psalm. It's a very sober psalm, perfect to meditate upon for a few moments at the close of a year. Psalm 90 divides up into two parts. The first part is verses 1 through 11, which contains an inspired reflection upon the brevity of life and the difficulty of life under the curse for sin. And then the second part is verses 12 through the end that contains a series of cries to God that say to him, because life is this way, because it is short and difficult, God, teach us to live rightly under it and bless our short life as we live it before thy face. So it's a psalm that faces reality head on. It doesn't try to smooth anything over. It doesn't blunt the reality of what our life is like. And yet, it treats that without bitterness, anger, but with hope yet in the God who gives us this life. Our text, verse 12, is the first of those cries out to God in the second part It's a prayer. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In family visitation this year, the consistory has been using Ephesians 5, verse 16, with the theme of redeeming the time. Psalm 90, verse 12, is similar to Ephesians 5, verse 16. And so our use of this text here at the end of the year provides a double benefit. First, to reflect on the year gone by, but also really to wrap up our year of family visitation and reinforce what we have discussed together in our homes. Namely, that the child of God is to live his life in its seconds and minutes, in days and weeks and months and years before the face of God in wisdom. Asking God to teach us to number our days so that we may live in that wisdom. The theme is that request, teach us to number our days. Let's notice first that it's a spiritual reality, numbering our days. Second, it provides an important benefit, leads us to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Third, let's make this an urgent request. Teach us, O God. In the text, Moses, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, requests that God teach the church, Israel, then the church now, to number their days. Of course, the concern that Moses has here is not merely that God would teach the Israelites to learn how to count. After all, they're a slave people. They haven't learned their math, and they don't even really know how old they are. And so teach us, O God, how to keep track of our birthday. The request is so much more than that. The request is that God teach Israel to think about their days, to reflect upon their days spiritually, to learn how to do spiritual arithmetic, no matter how much regular arithmetic they're able to do or not, to number their days in light of two spiritual realities. That's the significance of that word so at the beginning of verse 12. So teach us to number our days. That is, because of these things that I've just said in this psalm, and how true they are and how real they are. So then, on the basis of that, teach us how to number our days. And what he's just said in the psalm to this point is two things. First, our life is so brief. And second, the reason why it is so brief is because of God's wrath against sin. To number our days is to examine our time upon this earth spiritually in light of those two realities. Let's take the first one, the brevity of our life in this world. Moses begins speaking of that in verses 5 and 6. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, and they are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. Significant that Moses is writing this psalm after the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. He's an older man reflecting upon his life, but he's also an older man who has seen a whole lot of death. Remember, as Israel wandered in that wilderness for 40 years, that whole adult generation, the first generation that came out of Egypt, died there in that wilderness. Moses' own generation, the people who were his age, that adult generation probably made up somewhere around 1.5 million people. And they all died in the wilderness. If you average that out over 40 years, that's 37,500 funerals per year. Whether it worked out that nicely or not isn't the point. The point is, he saw a lot of funerals. He saw how quickly life passes. It's gone. And here he is, an old man, and he's seen everybody die. He's seen Aaron die. He's seen Miriam, his brother and sister, die. Only Joshua and Caleb from that generation are left. That causes you to reflect, even as it does for us. As we see people around us die, 47 people, I think, in our denomination have died in 2020. And that affects a lot of people. Death has come to our congregation in this past year, and it causes you to reflect, Lord, this life is so short. As Moses reflected, it's so short, a whole generation, just like a flood came and took them away. It's like a sleep. He's thinking of a dream that it's there, and then you wake up and it's gone, just like that. It's like the grass, he says. It's there in the morning, and then by the evening, if someone comes and cuts it down. He continues on that theme in verses 9 and 10. We spend our years like a tale that is told. Like a tale that is told. Some people can tell long tales, but even then, you tell the story and then it's done. Our life is like one of those stories. We're just here. There's things you can say about it and then it's over. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. Children, you know what those numbers are? 80 years and 10. 80 years. 70 or 80 years. Some of us live longer than that, but 70, 80 years. It's not that long in the relative scheme of things. Lord, teach us to number our days in the light of this. And Moses, who was so close to God, the friend of God, went up to the mount and met with God for how many days? Thinks about the shortness of life in light of the eternality of God himself. Verses 2 and 4. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. For 1,000 years in thy sight are as but yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. God is eternal. 1,000 years to him must be nothing more than a day to us. Methuselah lived over 900 years. Can you imagine that? What a long life, over 900 years. That's not even a day to God, who is everlasting. How puny man is, how little he is. He's like a flicker here and gone on the stage of time. And how much of his life is not spent even doing nothing, on his back in a subconscious state, sleeping. Humans spend an average of 26 years of their life sleeping and an average of 7 more years of their life waiting to fall asleep upon their bed. 33 of our 70 years spent with regard to sleep. 40 or 50 of those years in activity. So short, so little, and then it's over. It's over. For Job 14, verse 5, his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. God has given us a certain amount of time. And no man can pass that boundary when he says, this is where it will be. No one gets beyond that. It will be that many days. And then like the grass, we're cut down. Job 8, verse 9, our days on earth are as a shadow. Job 29, verse 6, they are passed away as the swift ships and as the eagle that hastes to the prey. James 4, 14, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Lord, teach us to think about this, to really take this in, think about our life this way before thee, how short it is. And then the second thing Moses has written about in those first 11 verses, the background to the so teach us, is the reason why life is so short, because of the wrath of God against sin. Verses 7 through 9. For this is why life is this way. We are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. God's wrath is his punishing response to sin, due to the fall of Adam into sin, a fall that you give your yes to every single day in your willing, conscious sins. God's curse is upon this world, a curse that says you shall surely die. Adam would have lived forever upon this earth had he not sinned. But in that fall, and in our willing, conscious sins too, the wages are death. That's what cuts our life short. And while, of course, for Moses, as he's thinking and reflecting and writing, he's thinking about God's wrath specifically upon the Israelites in those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because of their unbelief, that God would give them the land. The truth is real for all of us. Death cuts our life short, and death comes by sin. It's possible that when Moses speaks of our secret sins too, in the light of thy countenance, that he's thinking about himself, his own sins. Israel's sins weren't so secret. They were right open in front, complaint and unbelief. But Moses, though he was a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ, a mediator for the people of God, who loved the people of God and loved God, there were times when those people irked him. He was tired of them, and he'd become angry with them in his own soul, and it all came out finally, didn't it, when he struck the rock. My secret sins too, my secret battle against anger at these stubborn people. I don't deserve either to enter into the land, but to be cut down in shortness of life. It's a confession of reality that Moses makes in his own case, as it must be in ours. I don't deserve life in your world, O God. For my sin, I deserve that death, for life to be cut down, and not only to be cut short, but for it to be filled with trouble and sorrow, as it is to some degree. Verse 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. There's many joys in this life, of course, but so many difficulties too, labors and sorrows. That curse of God, the same curse that cuts our life short upon this earth, when otherwise, if there was no sin, we'd live forever, is the same curse that also brings troubles and sorrows into our short life. And though in Jesus Christ these are chastisements given in love, even death too turned to be our servant, it nonetheless remains a fact that the brevity of life and the difficulty of it is due to God's judgment against sin. Teach us, Lord, to take this in, to think about our days in light of these two realities, the brevity of life and the fact that it is this way because of thy wrath against sin, to number our days, to reflect spiritually upon this, take spiritual stock of what this means, the significance of this, to let that reality light upon our minds, to engage in that spiritual arithmetic, to number our days then in light of those realities, is to look back and think, well, what have I done? Have I lived in light of these things? How have I used my time, my short life? I don't live here very long. Look how much time I've wasted. And how in the foolishness of my youth I thought I'd live forever, and how many days are now past. And though I knew intellectually that life is short, how little I've taken that into account. And even now, how much time am I wasting? How much time that I spend on the smartphone flipping through, watching TV mindlessly or whatever else, just flittering away the hours. If we spend 33 years of our life sleeping, how many years, if you add it all up, have we spent doing all of these other things? And what are we watching? And what are we doing on the phone? Is it really valuable? And then numbering our days is looking forward, backward, and then forward. To think about how much time do I have left? If things go as usual in thy providence, 70, 80 years if strength be great. But what is that? That's hardly anything in light of history and in light of eternity. And at times, we're cut down like the evening grass long before 70 arrives or 80 arrives. I need to think about this. What am I going to do different going forward with the time that I have left? If you knew you were going to die in 2021, what would you do different from 2020? Those are probably the things to reflect upon. Teach us to number our days. Our days even, not even our years. Number our days. We count our time upon this earth by years. I'm 39 years old, but Moses is saying it's so short. You don't even think about it in terms of years, but of days. You only have so many days. Ask the questions, reflect, answer them honestly. Am I doing everything that I am called to do to prepare my children, to prepare my grandchildren to live in this world they're going to inhabit when I am gone, to spiritually survive? Ask the questions. What are my priorities, really? What am I doing? Am I seeking Him? Am I serving Him with my life or myself? So to number our days is to examine our life spiritually in light of those two important truths, the brevity of our life and the wrath of God against sin. And when the child of God does this, numbers, reflects upon his days this way, in light of those two realities, it leads to such an important fruit in his life. He begins to apply his heart to wisdom with respect to his days. Literally, to cause his heart to go into wisdom. So teach us to number our days. That teach us to number our days, because this is the result. And we apply our hearts unto wisdom under the power of the Holy Spirit, who tutors the child of God and leads the child of God to reflect. This is the result. The child of God begins to apply his heart to wisdom with the use of his days. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge and understanding to life before the face of God. There's knowledge, there's understanding, and there's wisdom. Knowledge is facts, truths. Understanding is knowing the significance of those truths, how those truths fit together, why they are truths. And then there is wisdom. Wisdom is applying the knowledge and the understanding to one's life so that one lives as God calls us to live. That's wisdom, conforming my life on the basis of that knowledge and understanding unto the way God calls me to live in that knowledge and understanding. Such wisdom is the prerogative of the heart. We apply our hearts unto wisdom. Knowledge is the prerogative of the mind. Understanding is the prerogative of the mind, but wisdom is the prerogative of the heart, the spiritual control center out of which are all the issues of life. In the heart is where knowledge gets mixed with affections and will and desire and plan and purpose and finally action. And wisdom requires all those things that are in the heart. Knowing, desiring, willing, planning, putting into practice to all be in line with God's will so that one's life is a wise life in harmony with God's word. And under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit, the child of God thinks about his days in light of their brevity and in light of the wrath of God against sin. It wakes him up spiritually. If he'd been spiritually sleepy, it wakes him up, leads him to apply his heart to wisdom with the use of his days. Specifically, tonight at least in these five ways. First, it leads the child of God to apply his heart to the heart of that wisdom, which is Jesus Christ himself. Proverbs 8 reminds us that by wisdom God made the world. That is, by Christ. Christ is wisdom. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. He is the wisdom of Proverbs 8. After the fall, when life is short and there is wrath of God for sin, living in a way that's wise, that conforms to God's way for life, is to apply your heart unto Christ, first of all. To look to him for hope, for this short life and for the life that is to come. Because doesn't numbering our days lead us to see our sin? Seeing how short life is and yet how much time we've wasted, seeing God's wrath upon sin, doesn't that make us aware of our own sins and humble us and lead us to the foot of the cross? And repentance and crying out to God for how serious rebellion against him is, realizing how he sees all of our sins, even our secret sins, our misuse of time that nobody else knows about. Wisdom then is to run to him. Oh Lord, my days are short. And any moment I'm going to meet this God who has created me and put me upon the earth and who, in whose wrath life is cut short for the race from Adam, when we otherwise would have lived forever, and in whose wrath there's troubles and difficulties in this life. Are you ready? Are you ready to die? What if it's his will that you die in 2021? How many of those 47 were expecting to die in 2021? When they sat in church, Old Year's Night, 2020, you don't know. It may come. Are you ready? Christ, forgive my sins. Christ, wash me in thy blood. Christ, give me days that are left living unto thee and to thy glory. You're not ready apart from that. That's what makes you ready. Embracing this Christ and him alone, the Christ of the previous verse, verse 11. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? In spite of the fact that our days are cut short after Adam's fall by the wrath of God, and in spite of the fact that the curse is upon this life so that there's labor and sorrow in that short life, the answer is nobody Nobody knows the full power of the anger of God. That is, nobody except one. The Lord Jesus Christ, sent of this God to take the sins of his people upon himself and to bear the full brunt of that powerful anger of God upon himself in their place, so that there is no wrath for them in this life or the next. Taking the judgment out of even the cutting of the life short, taking the judgment out of the sorrows of this life, so that it's all loving chastisement, even the difficulty, so that it's all pushing us to Canaan and not to Egypt, and transforming our days so that though they are filled with labor and sorrow, they can be what they are in the rest of this psalm. You notice the difference in verses 14 through 17. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. Make us glad even according to the afflictions that we have and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear to thy servants and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Our lives can be meaningful and are in him. Our labor established. Our days glad even under the difficulties. For we have hope in him. Our time used with value. For there lived in and unto him. That's the first wisdom. This reflection leads us to apply our hearts to is Christ himself. Second, and by this examination, our hearts applied to wisdom, we begin to be aware that in Jesus Christ, though this life is short and there's a lot of difficulties, every moment of it matters, is chock full of meaning, has purpose, can be used to see his beauty and his glory. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us in these days. That's the joy that's opened up in Jesus Christ. And let it have purpose, so that our work, whatever it is, be established by thee. Established means it's firm. It doesn't fade away. For all eternity it matters. Nope. Children, you can't take that test and then think, well, who cares how I do? It's not going to matter in 30 years. It does matter. It matters 30 years from now. It matters right now. It can be done unto his glory. It's something he grants you. It's part of his providence by which he weaves everything in your life unto eternal purposes. And he gives us an opportunity every day, every moment, to willingly, consciously be led unto him, to be used for positive ends in his providence and to magnify his greatness. Every moment matters in Jesus Christ. Third, it's wisdom to see these things. Third, examining our days this way, in light of those two realities, we apply our hearts to wisdom with the use of our time in the sense that it leads us to want to use our days and moments to his glory. The one who has redeemed us, given us hope under this short life filled with so many difficulties. There becomes in the mind and heart a certain weight to our use of time because it all matters. There's a certain soberness that lights upon the heart and soul, a desire to make wise decisions with the use of our time. Our time is like a farm. a farm with all this land that can be cultivated and used. Here's your life. All these moments, these years are like land to be cultivated. What do we do with it? It's opportunity. We just sit there and let it go to waste, let it grow over with all kinds of weeds, throw the rocks of sin and shame into the farmland, or cultivate it, use it for His glory consciously, the good of His kingdom, to see His beauty, to labor for His kingdom and covenant. Numbering our days leads me to apply my heart to that kind of wisdom, that I want to use my time for His glory. And so I do say, what changes have to be made? What opportunities have I passed by in this past year that I really need to start taking? Am I fulfilling my callings unto Him? Am I serving His church? Yes, there's time for recreation, morally righteous recreation, and that's good. But it's for recreation, it's to recreate, it's to relax so that I can be energized again to go into my callings in service of His name. That's wisdom. Fourth, at the same time that I see, by my reflection upon these realities, that I must use my time, cultivate the farmland of my time unto His glory. Am I using it rightly? What am I doing? What are my priorities? So that there's a certain motivation and drive. At the same time, there's that. There's also this. I recognize that I'm not ultimately in control of my time, and that He is sovereign over my life. And I take what He grants to me in my days and months and years. He's determined sovereignly not only the boundary of my days, but He's determined ultimately what fills those days too. That is, He's determined what opportunities I have to serve Him and what opportunities I don't have to serve Him. And I can be at peace with that and rest in what He's given and rest in what He hasn't given and use what He has given faithfully to His glory. I recognize that He's sovereign over my moments, so I'm not constantly living in the future. Constantly, what's next? But I can live now unto His glory. Not always thinking about my plans for later, to the detriment of right now, or worrying about the future. What will tomorrow bring? I don't live in fear when I receive it in His sovereignty and take each day as He gives it to me. And don't take the sorrows that might come tomorrow and bring them back in today. And then I don't live in the past either, letting the past control my present and my future. But I give up my past to Him and His sovereignty over my life, and I can take my present and serve Him. Live each day as He gives it to His glory and fill those moments and time unto Him. It's wisdom. Fifth, such an examination upon our days in light of the brevity of life and the wrath of God for sin leads us to apply our hearts to the wisdom of living in such a way that though I'm all in, invested in what God puts before me in my days, to use it to His glory, I'm also at the same time ready to enter into eternity at any moment that He might say to me, now I cut down the grass. That's wisdom too. Not like the rich fool who built his bigger barns. Not out of wisdom. It's not wrong to build big barns, bigger barns. But he built his barns because he thought he could insulate himself from God. I don't have to worry about death. I have it all here. Nothing can touch me. Nothing he sends could possibly cut my life short. I've gained utter security. I can escape the thought of death. But the child of God, dealing with reality honestly, says, I'm going to live each day to him fully as he gives it to me and fill my moments unto his glory. But I'm going to do it knowing that at any moment he could take me. That today could be the end or tomorrow could be the end. And I'm not afraid of that in Jesus Christ. I'm ready for that when he's going to take me home. That's wisdom. This is the wise receiving of our short life and using of our short life. Oh, can you see, beloved, why Moses casts himself upon God for himself and for all Israel, beseeching him, teach us, God, teach us this. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to this wisdom with the use of our life. Because by nature, this isn't the way we look at it. By nature, we're utter fools. We need to be taught of God himself. It's true. Isn't this the height of our folly? If we're not taught this of God, we won't number our days. That is, either we won't number them at all, or we won't number them spiritually. Look at us. In spite of the fact that it's right in our face that we know life is short already, that we see God's judgments against sin all around us, the fact that we go to funerals, loved ones die, in spite of the fact that we experience labor and sorrow in our life, in spite of the fact that we see ourselves getting older, we see others cut down, sometimes even in the prime of their youth. And yet we cannot number our days, in spite of all that. We number everything else, but not our days. We number the money in our bank account over and over again, counting, do we have enough for retirement to be able to do what we want? We number how many points our team has on the scoreboard, and we cheer for more, and we count it over in the stats. We number how many A's are on a report card. We number how many Christmas cards we get in the mail. We number how many likes we get on Facebook, how many comments on our pictures. We number how many miles are on our car if it's time to get a new one. We number how many days we have to quarantine. But by nature, we don't number our days. With this kind of spiritual reflection, it leads us to apply our hearts to this wisdom. We have to be taught this. Time passes, and yet we do everything to stop ourselves from thinking about the brevity of life. If it comes up, we push it down. We don't want to think about it. We distract ourselves. God sends COVID to remind us of all these things. And all humanity can think about is, how many days, count them down till the vaccine, when we can go back to the way it was, not thinking about the end of our life again. And we can just think about eating and drinking and being merry. And we don't have to be faced with this, confronted with this anymore. We don't have to worry about it any longer. Just number the days until the vaccine comes and saves us from having to number our days, to apply our hearts to this wisdom. And even if by nature, some do add up the days and think, reflect about how much time is left, or count the years, or think about how short it is. We don't number them spiritually. And it doesn't lead to wisdom. We just think about how much time is left to do the things that we want to do. How many days are left for me to stuff in all that I wanted to get done? All the pleasures I wanted to experience. Teach us, oh God. Teach us. Is that your prayer at the end of a year? Teach me to number my days this way, so that in the year that is to come, I may apply my heart to wisdom and live wisely before thy face. Or can you not wait until you can go back home and forget about this sermon and float once again without thinking about it? Only the heart touched by Christ, who redeems us from ourselves and our own blindness, can even desire it. But that heart that is touched by Christ and His Spirit through the Word does run to this Christ, finds wisdom there, and prays for it more and more. God, keep teaching me. Keep teaching me to number my days this way. And what a thing, beloved, for the renewed heart to do this, to pray this prayer. Can you imagine? Do you think people in Times Square tonight, or at whatever party that they're at, have the slightest concern? Teach me to number my days, that I may apply my heart to wisdom. What a difference God's Spirit makes in the life of His children. That they take this sober, real, but hopeful reflection upon life at the end of the year. Because God is teaching them. And they want to keep being taught. And the way of praying it, are sure that He will. He does teach us. He does. In His Word, He's teaching us right now, in this very Word tonight, He answers these prayers. He taught us this in His Word that was brought to us in family visitation by the elders, as He taught it to the Israelites through the Word, through the mouth of Moses. And He teaches us it through the circumstances of our life in conjunction with that Word, where He makes His children to see that this life is short and what really matters. And as they sometimes even pursue all these things that are so empty, and He wakes them up by the Word to see this is nothing, this is nothing. He shows through the difficulties of life, as He leads them through the wilderness of this world, as He showed the Israelites, as He led them through the difficulties of the Exodus, to apply their hearts to wisdom, to think, to reflect. And He sets their hearts upon Himself and grows them in numbering their days, applying their hearts to this wise way. I wonder, do you think this is part of the reason for a pandemic? An answer to this prayer of God's people through the ages. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days. Evermore, Father, teach us. We're dull, dull of hearing. Teach us. And teach us again and again, and our children after us. For thy own glory and our comfort. Amen. Father, bless thy word to our hearts, that we may number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. Hear us, O God, and we give thee thanks, our great teacher. Amen.